brother lived in a community, and he helped form this community. And he kind of taught them the ways of God. And my brother passed away. And so the community, as a tribute to him, wrote down a lot of his teachings, a lot of his sayings, a lot of the history of the community. My brother's name is John. And this is the gospel that we have today. It's written a little different, but it's the story of the community of the beloved disciples and how they were formed and how they were taught. In this community, they were concerned about Eucharist, but they were just as much concerned about service and ministry. So, as they recalled Jesus' Last Supper with them, they didn't write about him instituting the Eucharist. They wrote about him washing the feet of his disciples. And that's the gospel we have on Holy Thursday. Isn't that neat? Chapter 6 is such a hinge pin in this letter. I wish I could be with you for two more weeks. Because chapter 6 in St. John's Gospel is separated basically into three distinct parts. 2 weeks ago, we heard about the multiplication of the loaves and fish. And the people ate, and they had their fill. There was a bunch of stuff left over. Last week and today, we hear Jesus affirming that he has come from God. He's come from God. Final line is moving into the third section. First, multiplication of loaves. The second, I have come from God. And the third is all the Eucharistic text about the Holy Eucharist. And so we see today, Jesus is saying, I am the bread of life. I'm the one whom the Father has sent. You have to listen to me. And you know the bread of life that came down from heaven. Yeah. Your ancestors ate man in the desert, but they died. What I come down to give you is not that bread. You have to look beyond that bread and see that I've come to give you eternal life. And what is that eternal life? He wasn't speaking of the Eucharist at this point. Eternal life in the wisdom literature, eternal life was receiving the wisdom and the truth of God and living that out. You find this throughout, huh? I'll send rain down upon the earth and it'll harvest the crops and it's not going to return to me void. And so we take the truth and the wisdom of the one who was sent by God, take it in to live it out. That's what we're called to do. And that's what my brothers and sisters in that community understood. I wish I could be with you for the next two Sundays, because then when you get into the Eucharist, it's something. But the main thing is, I have to believe that Jesus, first of all, that Jesus is the one sent from the Father. I have to have faith in Jesus before I have faith in the Eucharist. I have to have faith in Jesus. Because if I don't have faith in Jesus, it's bread and wine. I have faith in Jesus and listen to His revelation, and what He's teaching us is, unless you eat of me and drink of me, you have no life. And that's not an option. And you'll see, you know, where a lot of disciples left Him at this point. Because blood was sacred. It symbolized life to the Jewish people. So I think we have to take into ourselves and see, do I get into the wisdom and the truth of the gospel? It's the truth. This community says, St. John's gospel, it's the truth that sets you free. It's St. John's gospel. What is truth? Pilate asked Jesus, what is truth? It's the truth that sets you free. The revelation of God sets you free. Jesus sets us free. And I have to believe in Jesus who sets me free in order that I may believe in the Eucharist. And St. Paul then would tell us later on, you can't receive this Eucharist in vain. You can't receive this revelation if you don't live in the Spirit, in truth, and in the wisdom of God, living out those truths that we're supposed to ingest and let come into our hearts and transform us. That's the Spirit of God. That's the Spirit of God that we hunger for and see. So it's not just bread. It's not just the physical needs. But how do we take in that eternal life, that revelation from God, the person of Jesus? And then He explains this to His disciples. He says, you're with me, you know, because you had your belly. Your belly's full. But it's going to be empty again. Doesn't that remind you of the woman at the well? Yeah, you come and you get water, but you're going to have to come again. I have water that will never end. Oh, give me that spring, you know, that'll well up within me. And what is that in St. John's Gospel? What's the spring of life that wells up that gives eternal life? The Holy Spirit. It's the very Spirit of God. So that if we feed off of that wisdom and that truth, stirs up within us the life of the Holy Spirit. And then when we come to the table, because we believe Jesus, we believe Eucharist. That we are one, and that we have to be broken and become food to one another. We have to come to know that truth. We satisfy one another's thirst and hunger by the sharing of the gifts that we have received. We become a sign. There are seven signs in St. John's Gospel, very distinct. We become the eighth sign. The people of God become the eighth sign. And eight is critical in the early Christian community. Know what it's a symbolic of? New creation. The world was created in 7 days. Jesus came to recreate the world. We start over. That's the eighth day. You go into some of the oldest churches, and a lot of times their baptismal fonts are octagons. Eight sides. It symbolizes new life. It symbolizes being born again into the kingdom of God. We become that eighth sign in St. John's Gospel. We're the ones who take that word of God to be life to the world. bottom line, Jesus asked his disciples, are you guys going too? Everybody else is going. Are you going? Where can we go, Lord? You have the words of eternal life. And it was a process for them. It was a process. It's kind of neat because you have all of these disciples and we think, man, they're really neat. But when they were going through Samaritan town on the way to Jerusalem, to the temple, and they were stopped. You can't come through our territory if you're heading to Jerusalem. You know, that's not where we worship. The beloved disciple, John, says, hey, Lord, let's call down fire. Wipe them out. You know, napalm. It's napalm them. So they had to learn. They were taking in the truth and the revelation and the wisdom of Jesus all this time. They're learning. And we cannot exhaust that wisdom and truth of the Lord. And we have to take that in. So it means constant transformation for us. And that early Christian community had to fight that, just as we do, to see how are we going to grow? How are we going to be the people of God? Where do I have to be transformed? We say, we call upon the Spirit, these elements are transformed. But we are called to be transformed too. To be the body and the blood of Jesus. So when we say amen, and we give out, distribute communion, we say amen. We're not saying amen to a piece of consecrated bread only. We're saying amen to all of our brothers and sisters. We're saying amen to church. Paul says you can't do it unreservedly or with conditions on it. You know, I have to say amen to all my brothers and sisters. Don't do it undeservedly because it'll bring condemnation on ourselves. So the beauty that we have a Eucharist, we really enter into Eucharist, literally. And St. Augustine says, that which we consume consumes us, or we become, as we take in Jesus. Let Jesus be lived out. We become the image, the mirror of Jesus Christ. We are that body of believers. And we join the community of the beloved disciples. And we're drawn into God's life, God's goodness, and God's holiness. It's kind of interesting because from day one, we've had Eucharist from day one. The disciples would meet in the temple or the synagogue, and then they would go home for the breaking of the bread. Day one, we've always had Eucharist with us. But we've always had community with us. And we've always been drawn into the oneness of the Lord Jesus, to be in union with God our Father. Amen.